Well, now it's time for our second feature. Derek James remembered the work of Father John Avers this week and also reminds us that Christmas cards to support the John Avers Education Project can be bought at the shop in St. Peter Mancroft Church that was mentioned earlier. Here's Sue Ryan to tell us more.
Today, postnatal depression is recognised as a medical condition some women may experience following childbirth. However, it was only officially recognised in the late 20th century, and 100 years earlier, those unexpected moods, ranging from baby blues to more serious postnatal melancholy, meant many mothers were diagnosed with lunacy. Sometimes, tragically, they found themselves admitted to the local asylum, with causes recorded variously as confinement, childbirth, miscarriage, pregnancy, and suckling child, all terms found in the patient records. Norfolk Lunatic Asylum, located in Thorpe next Norwich, and transformed into St Andrew's Hospital in 1923, was the county hospital for those suffering with mental health issues, until it closed in 1998, being converted into residential St Andrew's Park. Postnatal depression, or the female malady, as it was known, was the cause of insanity listed most frequently in female patients there. Victorian psychiatrists held the astonishing view that women were more vulnerable to insanity than men because of the instability of their reproductive systems interfered with the sexual, emotional and rational control. Case notes of patients suggest their physical condition was frail, and the substantial demands of breastfeeding further drained their strength, already weakened by hard labour and malnourishment. Mary Ann N. was typical. Having previously been admitted for a breakdown caused by overwork, anxiety and poverty, the mother, who was pregnant with her 10th child, was readmitted to the Norwich facility in February 1865, said to be suffering with delusions. 1 week later, she had gone on very nicely since her confinement, and after 3 weeks she was doing well, and described as most industrious, and so in charge, discharged as recovered in May 1865. The speed with which some patients recovered their mental and physical health within the asylum is quite astonishing, bearing in mind there was rarely any medication involved in their treatments. The provision of regular meals, comfortable accommodation, bathing facilities, clean clothing, and rest meant the basic needs of those patients who had been living in dire conditions, and this is sometimes enough to restore their mental health as well as their physical health. However, not all patient outcomes were as happily concluded as Mary Ann N's. Another Mary Ann was admitted to the asylum in July 1864, the mother of three children, with the youngest at almost 2 years old, having been breastfed since birth. Mary Ann H. had become extremely weak and stated the devil tempted her to make off with her child. She had also grasped her 10-year-old boy by the throat and the youngest two leaving finger marks. Her appearance on admission was noted as a shortly, weakly-looking woman, continually fretting about her children. And, being unable to sleep, she was given a dosage of morphine each night as a calming agent. Within a week, the morphine was discontinued. Mary Ann was conversing rationally and settling to needlework by day. At the end of November, she was reported to be very comfortable. Her mind appeared fully restored, and she was keen to return home. A month later, Mary Ann was discharged, fully recovered. What was not known by asylum staff were the circumstances of Mary Ann's home life. She was married in 1860 to Robert H., a widower, and an agricultural labourer by occupation. Robert had a daughter, Clara, born in 1854 from his first marriage. Clara was deaf from birth and unable to speak, so needed more care and support than their other children. Mary Ann may have found herself unable to cope with Clara's needs, as well as the demands of her own growing family. Mary Ann gave birth to four children, Eliza, Samuel, Maria and Isabella, between 1861 and 1870, Maria being the sole survivor. The circumstances surrounding Isabella's death were tragic. One morning, Robert H. left his home in Stobeden for work, leaving baby Isabella in bed with Mary Ann. Soon afterwards, Maria came into the bedroom feeling unwell. Mary Ann suggested she also get into bed with her. Moments later, taking her husband's razor, she went into the second bedroom where Clara, her stepdaughter, was in bed, tied the girl's hands behind her throat and attempted to cut her throat, inflicting serious injury. She then returned to her own bedroom, where the other two children were in bed, and seized the baby, nearly severing her head from her body, killing her instantly. Maria had a remarkable escape, according to newspaper reports. As Mary Ann was about to cut her throat, she pleaded, "Oh, mother, please don't kill me, for I am your darling, you know." At once, Mary Ann laid the razor to one side and in her nightdress hurried with Maria to the nearest cottage, telling her neighbours what she had done. The inquest was held on Tuesday, August the 22nd in 1871, and Mary Ann was tried for murder at Norfolk Assizes in March 1872. She was ordered to be detained during Her Majesty's pleasure for the willful murder of her daughter Isabella. Mary Ann became an inmate at Broadmoor Lunatic Asylum in Berkshire, where she spent the rest of her life. Broadmoor, initially known as Broadmoor Criminal Lunatic Asylum, and the first patient was admitted in 1863, who was a woman convicted of infanticide. Mary Ann remained a patient there until she died in 1913 at the age of 80. The high proportion of gender-specific causes assigned to women patients meant the label of women's problems as the cause of their mental disorders was often used as a classification when no other explanation was apparent. If you would like to learn more about these women, whose lives through poverty, deliberty and stresses of everyday life brought them to the asylum for a period of refuge, and how their lives evolved in the years that followed, you will find 21 case studies included in my book, Manifestations of Madness, Women's Voices from the Norfolk County Lunatic Asylum, published by Poppyland Publishing. Copies are available from Jarrell's and other bookshops, or directly from the publisher at poppyland.co.uk/products/B79685.
Thank you, Sue.